Well, let me go ahead and open up in a word of prayer as we get started. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for loving us and taking care of us. And we pray that as we continue this and finish this study today, that we will do so in a way that honors you and will understand the truths and principles from your word in contrast to the ways things are done actually in Islam. And we just pray that you give us understanding now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we'll go ahead and finish this week, and the handout will be kind of my summary of it all, putting it all together. Now, obviously, as we went through it the last couple of weeks, we gave you more of their philosophy, a little bit of their understanding, some of the words, and how they're big on battles and wars, because to them, their religion is about victory, conquering, and taking over the world for the sake of Allah. And so anyway, so this is the third part and should be the last part. So the only point I want to point out is, you know, when he talked about it, he heard a voice said, "You are the messenger of God." I just want to say, well, who would that have been? Well, in reality, that would be a demon. I mean, just be real plain. There'd be a demon spoke to him. How did the Quran come about? Because he couldn't read nor write. To them, that's a miracle. To me, there must have been either another person involved or somehow, and somebody wrote the words of the, Sharia, the law itself, what they were, the Quran itself, I should say. Anyway, so, you know, and he's 610. It's interesting how they would say that the Bible is corrupt, but they believe portions of the Old Testament and even the Gospels, right, in the New Testament, they believe those things, and yet that would mean that from creation, 4004 BC, through the time of Jesus, 4,000 years there, to the time he comes on the scene, 500 and 600 AD, that would mean that the man has been on the earth for 4,500 years without hearing from God. I mean, just try to imagine what that means, what they're trying to say about it, because that's when he came on the scene, 500 years after Christ. So none of the time in the Old Testament, there was no Muslim or anything like that, because that all began with him. So it's a long period of time when God wasn't even speaking to man, if we believe in Islam as it's taught. So anyway, I just want to emphasize a little phrase, because it becomes important as time goes on. I think we're going to hear the phrase pushed a lot, the Shahada, where there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, right? So they're going to be pushing that as they, because they're wanting world domination in the future. That's a big, big deal. So, and then there's, of course, the idea that the three biblical ideas, Jesus, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, obviously, are important players in the future. They have their Al-Mahdi, their Messiah, Isa Al-Masih, which is Jesus, and I usually just call him Isa, and Dajjal, which is their Antichrist. Interesting how many parallels, but in reverse and different meaning, but parallels there are in Scripture to their understanding. And of course, Jesus, Islam believes that Jesus is known to them, right? They believe in Jesus. They believe in the Gospels and what Jesus said, to some degree, other than when he says he's God and, you know, he and the Father are one. And the fact that he calls the Father denies what they say, because they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but all that goes with it. They believe that Jesus is coming again. In many, many videos out there, people, Muslims, the last couple of years, last 2 years or so, where they're saying they're having these dreams of Jesus, and they're believing in Jesus, and that Jesus is coming back again. Well, that's no different than any other Muslim in that part. If that's all they're getting, if that's all they're believing, they're not changing, they're not really anything, unless they're believing that they were a sinner and that Christ died for their sin. Now they're denying everything that Islam teaches, because Islam says nobody can pay for the sins of somebody else. So, I mean, there's a big contrast there between it. The Antichrist is coming, one of the key figures. One of the emphasis, they emphasize the fact that he's Jewish. One of the reasons they don't like Jews is, one, they didn't want to believe in Muhammad's message when he came on the scene. They had the Bible, and they realized that what the Bible was saying and what Muhammad was saying was not something they liked. And number two, they want to believe that this coming Antichrist kind of person. They don't use the Antichrist. They would use the jaw. But this kind of evil person is going to come on the scene, and of course he's going to be a Jew. So they have lots of reasons to not like Jews in their religion, in their way of looking at it. And of course they say the Mahdi, their savior, is a military figure. Now that means that it's a lot of wars to come in their world view. There's going to be a lot more battles and a lot more wars. And ultimately, they think they win the war, the battle. You know, it's kind of like, you know, do you believe in Allah or do I push the sword through? That picture is that's their religion. And I know we want to soften it by saying, no, religion of peace. But if you're believing what the text is telling you, they're not a religion of peace. I mean, they want you to believe that they're nice people. They're just like Christians. And no. I mean, the people might be very nice people, but when they act on their belief and what their Bible, if you will, the Quran says, they're going to be lying to you. They're going to be deceiving you because they think ultimately that's how they win. And anyway, so jihad, of course, is the idea of battles and wars, and you build up these battles for the sake of Allah, and that's how they win. We talk about evangelism, we talk about telling people about Jesus, and we win them by information and truth of what God's Word teaches. They win by you either believe or you die. And by nutrition, whoever's left, that's it. The only ones that should be alive would be those who are Muslims. And that's really what jihad's about. Again, he's a very figure that's all about war. They would see, when we read in Revelation 6, the rider on the white horse who comes in, and he's the Antichrist. And from the biblical context, they would see him as, oh, that's actually our Savior. He's the one coming to make war with the earth and conquer the earth for Allah. So anyway, all these pictures. Jerusalem is a very important point to them, even though they have Medina and Mecca, of course. And so they have those two cities as the first and second of their holy sites. They want Jerusalem to be their third. They kind of already claim it to be their third holy site, but, you know, all that goes with it. But their problem is they have Jews there. There's Jews living in Jerusalem. It's, you know, it's kind of amazing. So they don't want them. They want them all gone so they can see it as a more of a holy place. And eventually, they want to lead from Jerusalem. This bad person that they would call the Mahdi, we would call the Antichrist, they're going to rule from Jerusalem. That part's the same as the Bible. The Antichrist will rule from Jerusalem. The Mahdi, by their intention, will rule from Jerusalem as well. So we talk about how when this person, this is the same he that Daniel that's speaking of here, that Revelation 6 is talking about, the same he. He'll speak pompous words against the Most High. If you understand what the Muslims believe concerning Jehovah, Elohim of the Old Testament, God of the Bible, they basically say that's a false god and only Allah is true. And so they will go out of their way to let you know that whatever you say about your God, it's false. And that's as plain as can be, right? And we would say actually the same thing in reverse, right? We believe that Allah is really a demon, and he's certainly not God. And if that was God, that's a really tough place to be. He's a God who has attitude. He has good days. He has bad days. He changes his mind. Very precocious. He could just change it on a whim. I mean, our God is completely different. He's holy. He never changes. He's always consistent and with his very nature. Anyway, so we talked about the fact that, you know, they decided that they couldn't worship on a Saturday or Sunday because Jews and then Christians do, and they have to do it on a different day, so it's Friday. Everything about it is just kind of like, you can see it's an add-on. You can see there's God, there's the Bible, there's the truth of the Word of God, and they're looking at it going, yeah, we're not going to be any one of those. We're going to choose to be this other as if somehow that makes it right. It's almost at random. It truly is. They're looking at it after the fact, after Judaism and the Old Testament and Christianity and the New Testament is already in place. So anyway, they do deny Yahweh. They deny him in every regard, and that's a big deal for them to deny him. So real simply, they do not believe that Jesus is God. he's just a man created by God. They do believe he's going to come again. They do believe that he lived and all that, and he died as an old man, is how they understand it, in the past. And he is, but he is going to come back again. Why is he going to come back? Because he's got to come back to let everybody know, or the Christians especially, to let them know that, you know, whatever you believe about me isn't true. I mean, that's their belief, that Jesus is going to come back to set the record straight, that Christianity has been wrong. Don't follow me, follow Allah, is what they're going to be teaching. So anyway, we got all the passages talking about Jesus is the first and the last and all that. So they don't believe Jesus God, he's just a man. They don't believe that he's the Son of God, even to that level. You know, you get the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're like, oh, it's terrible. They think that means you believe in three gods. Well, Islam and, say, Jehovah's Witnesses believe the same way. They think that it's false because we're teaching the idea of three gods. Well, we're not. It's only one God. There's only one God. But he is in three persons. I have no difficulty with God being outside my full ability to understand it. I mean, if I could fully put him into my mind, my understanding, that doesn't make him much of a God. The fact that he's outside my understanding actually says that's how awesome he is. That's how great he really is. So I look at it in that way, big time. So anyway, and number three, they don't believe that Jesus died on a cross. Right? They make it very plain. He basically says, you know, if you believe that Jesus is your salvation for your sin, then you're lost in your sin. You're still in your sin because no man can die for another man. They actually teach that, right? So here are some of the signs, and this is going to lead into what you have as the handout. We'll look at the handout at page as the last screen, but I'm going to give you a feel, a sense for what they believe about the future. That's what we've been talking about. Islam, kind of what they believe as far as the background. Now, what does it mean in the end? Their eschatology, their last days. And so three great signs of Islam is the fact there are three men. To them, the signs are these three men have to show up, and that lets you know you're in the last days. That's a funny way of putting it, because last days doesn't really kind of end. It kind of keeps going. It's the last big battles from their world. The last days mean the big, big battles, not the little battle, not the little battles here and there and the little takeovers of these areas and you know, becoming more Islamic. That's what's been going on so far. But they're talking about last days of them means when we finally get the major caliph, we get all of our, the biggest battle. It's a holy war, right, is the idea, is the picture they're talking about. So each of these great signs is a man. Each of the three signs that they were called signs of the last days is the fact there's a man that's going to come on the scene. And the first man that's going to come on the scene, of course, is going to be the Mahdi. We talked about the 12th Aman, or the 11 that have already lived in the past. And this is the 12th Aman. And remember the background behind it. The Sunni and the Shiite have different views about this 12th Aman, where they come from. From the Shiite view, he's alive and been alive since, 600-some B.C., A.D., I should be. He's been alive for hundreds of years, is the idea, a very long time. And so God's been keeping him alive, and eventually he's going to come, Allah, in their context, will come up and bring, when they set the conditions, this is one of those things where, it's, you know, we talk about what's going to change everything is Jesus coming, and he's the one that does it. It's not us. It's going to be him and his power. In their context, they have to make things happen. They got to start a motion. They got to start enough war. They got to start enough battles in order for the Mahdi to come. And then when he comes on the scene, he'll guide them, which is what the Mahdi means. It's the idea of guidance. He gives guidance to them in the war. So the war is, again, it's their religion. And so when they say it's a religion of peace, somebody's trying to soften it or just flat out lie, because it's not who they are. They really are about war. And without war, their religion has no meaning, because in the end, it's all about the major wars that finally dominate the entire world by that means. So anyway, Mahdi, or the 12th Aman, he'll come on the scene. The second one, of course, is Isa, or Jesus, and so they believe that this Jesus is the same Jesus that we talk about. However, the message of this Jesus that Islam believes in is going to be completely different than the message we read in the Bible that Jesus wrote and told us about in the Gospels, for example. And so they do believe the second person is going to be Jesus. And so the Mahdi is a good guy, and Jesus is a good guy from their view. And the third one is an antichrist. Now, that's a term that we use. They don't use that term. But they have the equivalent of it, of the antichrist, because why would they have antichrist? They don't believe in Christ. I mean, he's just a man. Jesus is just another person like everyone else. So they wouldn't use a term like that. So to use the Dajjal, and of course to them, he's a bad guy. He's a Jew, and he's a bad guy. He's going to fight Islam. He's not going to last very long, but he's going to fight Islam, is their view. So the first one is the Mahdi, or the 12th Iman, right? The first man that's going to come, and that all is initiated by them. They have to start it. They have to start wars, enough wars. I want you to really get the picture. They have to start more wars for things to get better. They have to start more wars. There's no negotiation. You don't believe in Allah, you die. It's simple. It's not very complicated. It sounds very harsh because in reality, it is. It's very harsh, right? The Mahdi means the guided one. Remember, they already had 11 Mahdis in the past. They were all descendants of Muhammad himself, right? And this is the 12th one, supposedly lived, but then he's going to come later on. And God's keeping him alive until the end when they finally start enough wars. So about the Mahdi. Now, I'm going to give you details. I want to get a feel for this guy. This is their savior. And then we'll kind of summarize it on the chart you have on your hand. So what about the Mahdi? He'll have a massive army. As you can imagine, this is what they are. They're about war. It's a very military thing. They will carry black flags with one word on it. And the word is punishment. If you don't believe in Allah, you get punishment. It's called kill. Right? You get punished. That's it. And you've seen these flags. You've seen several of the terrorist groups. They love to carry these flags because it's a religious thing that they're doing when they're taking over and killing people and taking over this city. And look at, really, you think about the instability in Syria right now. It's amazing. It's like a vacuum. There's so many things going on in Syria. But the point is, they carry around these flags because they really do believe in punishing everyone who's not a believer in Allah. Boom, that's it. And then this Mahdi is going to reign for 7 years. Ain't that funny? Amazing. Who would have thought that? You know, coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. Of course, in the Bible, he doesn't reign for 7 years. He reigns for 3.5 years, 42 months. It's very, very clearly stated in the Bible. But this guy will rule for 7 years. And we're talking about that because there's more he'll do. He's going to be the one that rides like on the white horse. He's conquering and the conqueror. He's going out with the intention of beating people up for the sake of Allah. Beat them up, meaning you either believe or you die. So, of course, he's going to be a descendant of Muhammad. If he's the 12th Iman and God's been keeping him alive all these years, it's for a purpose, for the final caliph, for the final jihad war, if you will, so that they finally take over the world, is the picture. So he's going to come out of a crisis or a turmoil. It's kind of like he's a savior. When things look very difficult for them, for Islam and their religion, things look very tough and not going very well, they need to start these new wars anyway, and then it will bring under those kind of conditions, he comes on the scene to save the day, to give them the guidance, how to win the wars, right, that they started. So he comes out of turmoil. Remember, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he has and biblically speaking, and we have this false prophet come on the scene at the same time. The false prophet is the one that does all the miracles for the sake of the Antichrist. It's to say, look, all these miracles are, you know, on behalf of the Antichrist, worship him and all that. So he's going to have some kind of supernatural power. And that supernatural power is obviously to deceive. Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, does he not? About 3 times he kept emphasizing, don't be deceived, because there's going to be a lot of deception, things that are going to look real, and it's going to make you think, well, maybe it is real, and so obviously be true to the Word of God, what Jesus would say. So that's about him. Now, look, what are the things that he's going to do? So this Mahdi, their savior, when he comes on the scene, he's going to establish the final caliph, right? Caliph is, a holy war, the final. For them, they're leading up to, everything's getting, building up to more war until it's such a great war that it's basically worldwide dominion over the entire earth. So it's going to go from nation to nation and punish, remember the flag, they're going to be carrying the black flags with the word punish, and punish the unbelievers. That's the idea. If they're not going to believe in Allah, then they die. There's no other way around it. It's very plain. And here, this is going to sound familiar. He's going to make a peace agreement with the Jews for 7 years. That sounds like Daniel 9:24, doesn't it? Well, anyway, so that's interesting how exact precision there is. Because they already had the Bible, so it's easy to see how they could use elements of Scripture and then use it to their new religion, but change the meanings along the way. But the idea is going to be a peace agreement with the Jews for 7 years. Jesus talked about that, and that's the 70th week, the 7-year period of Daniel, right? And that's exactly what we got it right out of the Old Testament. Going to lead the army of black flags to Israel, first of all, to slaughter all the Jews. And Jesus talked about when the abomination that causes desolation shows up, Matthew 24:15, he says, basically, get out of there. Get out of Judea, because that's the epic center. That's where it's going to begin, and that the persecution will spread from there. So he's saying, get out of there in a hurry. And so they're going to be there specifically to kill all the Jews. That's not where it ends. Remember, it's worldwide, ultimately, but they'd like to start with the Jews. They've been trying to. They certainly have been. They've been trying to do that.
Yet.
Yeah. Well, they won't. So he's going to. He's going to establish his rule in Jerusalem, right?
Later.
On the Temple Mount.
I have a right to say something.
You do.
At the end, you do.
So he's going to establish his rule in Jerusalem, right, on the Temple Mount, and so that's not a new thing either. Where's the Antichrist going to rule? He's going to rule from the Temple Mount likewise, right? So that's important. You see that a lot of these things they're getting from Scripture, and they're just reapplying it. Whatever it says about the Antichrist as someone that's going out to destroy the world and kill Christians and Jews, he's basically turned it into their Mahdi, their Savior. Same principles in the Bible applied over to the Mahdi. And he said he's going to bring rain. He's going to bring crops. He's going to bring wealth and happiness so that everyone will love him, basically. He's going to make everybody, it fits their understanding of this Allah. Because Allah is somebody who has good days and bad days, right? He's capricious, and he changes in these good days. If he feels good, he'll make you feel good. He's saying he's going to bring all these good things so that you will love him. You'll love him because he's doing these nice things for you. I mean, it's not a biblical way of looking at it at all. God doesn't say, I'm going to bless you because I'm nice to you. We love him because of who he is, right, and how holy he is, and how we actually need him. It's almost like their understanding of Allah is that he's going to have to make you feel good, do good things to you so that you'll love him back. Kind of a hard place to be, but that's their Allah, completely different than the God of the Bible. He's going to discover hidden scriptures near the Sea of Galilee. Now watch this. He's going to discover, that hasn't happened yet, somewhere around the Sea of Galilee, the Mahdi is going to find these scriptures. It's going to show that the Jews and the Christians were wrong all along. I don't know how that works. It hasn't happened yet, has it not? Hasn't happened at all. So he's going to find these scriptures. He's going to say, look, that Allah is the only true God. Jehovah, the Old Testament, whatever you think is wrong. Jesus was wrong. Don't be following him. Don't worship him. Follow Allah alone and all that. So supposedly they're going to find scriptures in the future that's going to disprove both the Jews and, of course, the Christians. That's quite an amazing thing, but that's what he does believe will actually take place. So the Bible's Antichrist is Allah's, Israel's Mahdi is their savior. So the connection is pretty clear there. It's a Satan's counterfeit. So the second great sign is who's going to come is Jesus. And we all go, oh, we know Jesus. We read him in the Bible. Exactly. But you're going to see it's going to be different. It's not the same Jesus of the Bible. Oh, it is person-wise, but not teaching-wise. Completely different. And Muslims believe Jesus will return. Again, they believe that Jesus is going to return. He's the second sign that they're looking for that will be in the last days, you know, the final big war that they're going to look for. Jesus is going to be a part of it. So the Mahdi is not Jesus, okay, just understand the two different things. Their Savior, their Mahdi, their 12th Imam is certainly not Jesus. They're two different people. The Mahdi is greater than Jesus, right? This Mahdi that comes on the scene is someone that Jesus will honor. He'll actually worship him. So Islam's Jesus, as opposed to the Bible's Jesus, teaching-wise, Islam's Jesus is just a man and a prophet. He was a man and he was a prophet. And Islam would acknowledge that Jesus was a prophet. They do believe that he was a prophet. They believe that somehow the New Testament was so corrupted that everything Jesus said was perverted. All of it. I mean, pretty much, right? Which is amazing. So then why do you believe that you say you believe this text anyway, but yet at the same time they say it's corrupt? Why would you point anyone to anything that's corrupt? I mean, to me, logically, there's some things that really fall apart in their thinking, but it's a deception, obviously, is really the key, right? So, and this is an important concept. Islam's Jesus did not die, did not rise from the dead, nor provide sacrifice for sin. No one can provide atonement for anyone else, right? That's what they say very plainly. No one can die for the sins of somebody else. Even though this is why it's so important that Jesus wasn't just simply a man, he was actually God dying for mankind. And why he had to be 100% man also, while being 100% God at the same time. So unique, he goes outside of our comprehension. You can't be 100% of two things at the same time, can you? And yet he is. This is God creating it. So of course he is going to go outside the realm of our understanding. So Jesus did not die on the cross. He did not rise from the dead. And he certainly didn't die for anybody's sin. That's their understanding. So that's their vision of Jesus. So Islam's Jesus will be a radical Muslim. He will be very Muslim. He won't have anything to do with Christianity or Judaism or anything, Old Testament, New Testament. He'll have nothing to do with that. And his purpose is to let you know that none of that is true. None of the scripture, Old and New Testament, is true. It's all false. Again, what's so odd about that is then why do the Muslims claim to believe portions of it, like the Law of Moses and the Gospels and certain other portions of Scripture they like, and they say that those are believed, why would you believe any portion of it if you don't know if it's corrupted? Why would they even do that? It's a double speak. Kind of like to get your favor to try to convince you to believe in Allah, I think, is in the end. So Jesus, Islam's Jesus, would be a radical Muslim. He will establish the cause of the Mahdi. In other words, Jesus isn't leading anything. The Mahdi is the guidance. The Mahdi is the one leading. He's just doing whatever Mahdi tells him to do. Jesus will just obey the Mahdi is what he will do. Islam's Jesus will be Mahdi's executioner. So Jesus is going to be the one that actually is involved with killing, right? That's their view of Jesus. And he's going to be Mahdi's prophet. So he's going to be the one speaking the words about the Mahdi is now the leader, and Mahdi's working for Allah, right, is the picture there. But, you know, but Jesus is the one actually killing people, and there's more in particular who he goes out to kill. But the point is, he's an evangelist, is what he's going to be. He's going to be the greatest evangelist. Jesus will be the greatest evangelist in Muslim history. I mean, he'll be gaining, believers, is their view of it, all over the world. Jesus will be pointing them to the Mahdi and then to Allah. So where Jesus shows up, he's going to arrive east of Damascus, up in Syria, that very unstable time at this point, without the leaders and all these different groups trying to vie for power there. Islam Jesus will arrive east of Damascus dressed in yellow robes. Right? Why? Because that's what the text says. He'll be wearing yellow, and he'll come in. When he shows up, he'll show up in Damascus, right? Not in Jerusalem, but Damascus. Islam's Jesus will pray to the Mahdi it acknowledged the Mahdi as the Lord. Now, it's kind of an odd thing because they, you know, they say it's all about Allah, but yet in the meanwhile, when the Mahdi shows up, it's okay to worship him, because when you're worshiping him, you are worshiping Allah, is the picture, as they're seeing it. Just like when you worship Jesus, you're also worshiping the Father. And 1 John and all the various passages talk about that idea. So Islam's Jesus will worship Allah and the Mahdi. Islam's Jesus will help establish Sharia law. His whole point is to establish Sharia law. Sharia law is whatever your law is now, it's null and void. We're beating you up, we're winning, we're conquering. This is the law of the land, Sharia law, and all that goes with it. And there's a whole conversation there. But it's not anything like our law, let's put it that way. And Islam's Jesus will kill the Islamic Antichrist, the Jadal. When he comes, when Jesus is the one who kills the false prophet, the false Islamic prophet, their version of an Antichrist, Jesus will be the one who will kill him. Jesus is very big on execution, let's put it that way, in their view of Jesus, what he will do. So Islam's Jesus and Christianity, a little bit of obviously contrast there for what we read in the Word of God and what we see on the text, right, in their writings. Islam's Jesus will become the greatest Muslim evangelist. I mentioned that. He'll be the one pushing Allah, reject Jehovah, reject the notion that I was somehow, that I died on a cross and was risen for the sake of people's sin. Reject all that. He'll be there to say none of that was true. That was Jews and Christians giving a false message. No, it's about Allah. That's what they think Jesus will be doing in the future. And I think it's important to know some of these things, because I think we're going to see more of these ideas come forth as time goes on. And so I don't want us to be taken by surprise. So we're learning things that, you know, we're not reading verse by verse through text like we normally do, but we're understanding how there's a big difference between Christianity and Islam. And their message can be very, I don't want anyone to be deceived when they hear that message. So Islam's Jesus has said, quote, he will shatter crosses. He'll break crosses and break them. The idea is he'll tell you that Christianity is false. That's the point. He'll crush crosses because they give a wrong message. The cross is a message that Jesus died for our sin, according to the scriptures. He rose from the grave, and our sins are forgiven because our sins were transferred to him, and all that goes with that, right? And his righteousness, of course, is given to us. So there, he's there to tell you none of that was true. None of that was actually true. So again, Islam's Jesus will first destroy Christianity. He's going to go after Christianity. It's kind of contradictory in some ways, because it seems like they focus on the Jews in some texts, which ones are going to destroy first. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he's all about destroying Christianity. Because after all, Christianity is about Christ. And so if this Jesus comes back and he tells you everything that you think about me as a Christian is false, that's what he's going to be doing. He'll be telling you, but instead, don't trust in me, trust in Allah. A great deception that would be, right? And then Islam's Jesus will lead Christians to reject their notion of the biblical version of Jesus, right? And accept Islam's Jesus as he was merely a prophet and a man, right? He's nothing more than that. He was nothing more than that. However, God will send him back just to set the record straight so we Christians don't continue to believe what the Word of God tells us to believe, right? Especially New Testament teaching. So the Bible's false prophet, and they don't really, you know, the Bible has a false prophet. He's the beast that comes out of the land, right? And the Antichrist comes out of the beast comes out of the sea. The Bible's false prophet is Islam's Jesus. So it gets confusing because they, in some sense, they have Jesus taking two roles at the same time, in their view. I mean, Jesus is the Savior. And he's God and all that, and he's the Son of God. In the biblical standpoint, they have other views of Jesus. So it's another counterfeit. So we got this picture here is just one of several up there. And so he's blind in one eye. He's got the word infidel crossed or engraved in his forehead is the idea there. And so here coming on the scene, he'll be the guy that will try to stop Islam from spreading around the world. So he's going to come on the scene with that intention. So the Dajjal the Antichrist, a third sign for them is that the Mahdi comes and he's going to start guiding them how to win more wars around the world. Jesus comes and let people know that whatever you believe about me is not true. It's Allah and Allah alone. You get the vision, how they're looking at it. But then there's another guy, a third person comes on the scene with the intention of stopping of Islam is the idea, right? He's going to somehow prevent it. Number one, he is the great deceiver. That's what they call him. He's the great deceiver. So if we call him anything, they would call him deceiver. The great, they wouldn't call him Antichrist, but it's the equivalent. He's an infidel, meaning he's simply an unbeliever. From their standpoint, he's just another one that needs to be stabbed and killed because he's not believing in Allah, right? He would claim to be Jesus, the Son of God. So this is interesting. This is why I said it's kind of confusing because they got two other people are point to Jesus. So this is another person that comes on the scene claiming to be Jesus. Remember a couple of times Jesus said there may be false prophets and others claiming to be the Christ. Find that interesting, Matthew 24. Talks about other false Christs that come on the scene, and he's saying, do not believe it. Don't believe these other people claiming to be Christ. Well, they believe that this false Islam, this deceiver, this Antichrist-type person, is going to claim to be Jesus, the Son of God. That's what they specifically believe. So there's going to be the real Jesus, supposedly, our biblical Jesus comes back and lets you know that everything was false today, but you believe about me. But then this other person now also claims to be Jesus, and he's going to be saying he's the Son of God. He'll claim to be deity. He said it will be blind in one eye. He'll come in on a mule. Remember, east of Damascus, he'll come in on a mule. Kind of like the triumphal entry comes in on a mule. But it's perversions of the scripture in this new religion, right? And he would be a false miracle worker. Again, we see that Jesus talked about how the deceivers will come on the scene and they'll perform miracles. Matthew 24:22 specifically talks about those miracles would seem so believable if it wasn't for the cutting short and were taken out and in the rapture, even the believers would start to think, the elect would think, well, maybe it is true. It's the deception is going to seem very real. Is obviously pretty important. So the Bible's Jesus is Islam's Antichrist, right? Again, Jesus takes on a couple of roles. One is an evangelist, an executioner, and then there's going to be a false Jesus that comes on the scene, and he's going to try to stop Islam, is kind of the picture. So we talked about this in a couple of weeks ago, well, at least in short, you had a handout of it. So just to put, you got the genuine, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Jesus, right? Those three. And then the counterfeit, corresponding, they don't use the same terms, would be, for the Antichrist, it's going to be the Mahdi. For the false prophet, is Jesus himself, and he'll set the record straight in their view. And then this other Jesus will be their Antichrist, a false Jesus. So Jesus kind of shows up twice in their view. One as to let everybody know that I'm not Jesus as the Bible teaches. I'm just another man. And that there's going to be a false Jesus that shows up again and claims, to be all kinds of things like deity and all that. And so a summary of this was this, and then we'll go to the last chart. He's going to be, the Mahdi is going to be born in Iran. I'm just giving you more specifics of their Mahdi. He's going to be somebody born in Iran. So that means he's going to be Shiite and not Sunni. And the Shiites are the real radicals, right? There is no negotiation with anybody. You believe in Allah or die, right? They're very radical. So this Mahdi, there is going to be this kind of idea. The Dajjal, the appearance of the Antichrist. Let me come back to him. He's going to be born in Iran. He will have only one eye because he'll be blind. He'll claim to be a prophet, claim to be divine, and infidel will be on his forehead, as I mentioned a moment ago. That's their Antichrist. He's going to have this army of 70,000 Jews. He's going to be a Jew himself. So he's going to have Jews as an army that's going to come in and try to stop Islam. And then he's going to have 70,000 Tatars, which is the idea of Gentiles. So 70,000 Jews, 70,000 Gentiles, 140,000 people will come together to try to stop Islam, is the picture. This is their view of a war in the future. It's going to conquer the world except Mecca and Medina, because they already own those cities, the first and second holy sites for them. And then he's going to last for only 40 days. This idea of the Antichrist, their jaw, is only going to last for 40 days, because Jesus is going to be the one that kills them, actually. That's part of his point. Jesus, their view of the Jesus that comes back is going to be the executioner and the big speaker for Allah. So the rise of the Mahdi, their Messiah, he's going to deliver the world, right, of the Dajjal, but he's going to be using Jesus to do it. He's going to say, Jesus, you go get him. He's bad. He's a bad guy. So Jesus is going to be the one that executes this idea of their false prophet, their Dajjal. The Mahdi is going to rule for 7 years, right? He's going to rule for seven. In some places they say it might be 8 or 9, but 7 years is what the text does say that the Mahdi will last. Well, that means he's only going to be around for a little while, and then he goes away. Understand, when we think in the end, we think Jesus comes and everything on the earth changes in a good way, and you get a 1,000-year kingdom, and then his eternity. To them, things continue on the earth. But now you got a utopia of everybody believing in Islam, and there's no end. It just goes on and on and on. Well, we say there is an end to humanity as it is now. It's going to change. To them, no, it just continues. There's no real end, all right? Other than they conquer the world, is the picture. So he's going to conquer Israel and slaughter all the Jews, right? And that's what their Mahdi will do. His rule will end with his death. Okay, so he'll finally go where they're looking forward to him. He comes on the scene. He'll be on the scene for 7 years, and he goes away. That's less than the 2 terms of a president. You get that. It's a big deal, but, it's all over with. And life will go on the earth, is the picture. When the Mahdi arrives, he finds hidden scriptures, I mentioned earlier, in Galilee, proving that Christians and Jews were wrong all along. It's going to go against both of the religions, supposedly. You can see that this is an after-the-fact religion, because it is after the fact. It's definitely after the fact, because it's an allusion to these guys won't follow us, the Jews, and these guys, the Christians, won't follow us. So we're gonna have a religion that says that they're wrong in the end. They're going to have to find, supposed to be, the scripture in the Sea of Galilee. Now, the return of Jesus, right, which is Islamic's false prophet, the return of Jesus is important, right? We think of Jesus, but there's this false one. So, okay, Jesus returns. Jesus will meet the Mahdi in Damascus and will submit to him. So Jesus is just another person, like everyone else, but he was a prophet, and just happens that all bunch of Christians are worshiping this man. He's nothing but a mere man. Jesus is going to submit to the Mahdi, which when he does that, he's telling all Christians, you were wrong in following me, follow him, right? Follow him instead. So in the Mahdi wars, Jesus will kill the Dajjal. He'll be the one that kills their idea of this Jew that comes on the scene trying to stop Islam from spreading. Jesus will become the greatest Islamic evangelist, and Jesus will establish Sharia law on the earth. So Jesus is the one who seems to be pushing more Islam than the Mahdi. But Jesus is going to be worshiping the Mahdi when he shows up. The Mahdi will only be here for that time, that 7 years. Jesus, on the other hand, now continue about Jesus. Remember, Jesus is confusing because it's kind of like he comes in 2 different forms. And the Jesus that we think of in the Bible, but with a different message, and the idea of a false teacher, right? So the same Jesus himself, Isa, is the word. Upon death of the Mahdi, Jesus assumes control. So the Mahdi is only lasting for what, 7 years? He's going to die, and then Jesus will now be in control of the Islamic world, continuing to teach Islam, right? So Jesus is going to reign for 40 years on the earth when he comes, is the picture, right? So he's going to bring, like the Mahdi brought, abundant rain and plentiful harvest, and he'll do things. Allah will be working through Jesus to spread it, the message, and give everybody blessings along the way, right? So the weapons will be converted into agricultural tools. Does anyone ever remember that in both Ezekiel and Isaiah, where their wars, war tools, weapons of war, is turned into agricultural tools? I mean, you see, they're getting these imageries from the Old Testament and converting it into Islam is what they're doing. So 21 years into his reign, Jesus will marry or have children, and then he'll die. Again, but he'll rule for the full 40, right? He'll be buried in Medina next to Muhammad, to his grave. They'll be buried side by side. And he'll wait for a day of resurrection like all other humans, which it's indefinite on the time when there will be a resurrection, let's put it that way. And the last one is trying to put the context of this, what it all looks like, eschatologically, right? The resurrection for saved and unsaved are going to be at the same time. You know, we talked about the judgment seat of Christ only for believers, and the great white throne judgment is only for unbelievers, the scripture teaches. And for them, there's going to eventually be a resurrection, but who knows the period of time? That's a problem. They don't know. Not like right after this, after Jesus died, and then, no, it seems like it goes on for a long time in the writings. So all resurrected will be naked. I don't know why there's an obsession with nakedness, but there is in their writings. So all will be resurrected, and they'll be naked. Abraham will be the first one to be clothed by Allah. Okay, they're going to be, when you're resurrected, you're going to be given these clothes. Muhammad will be the first human to be resurrected. So Muhammad will be resurrected first, like Jesus is the first fruits. Jesus is the first to be resurrected. Muhammad, in their understanding, will be the first to be resurrected. Abraham will be seated facing Allah's throne, and Muhammad himself will be seated at the right hand of Allah, like Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Muhammad will be the one that assumes that kind of a position. And so in the end, this is what you have as a handout, and I tried to summarize it again to put this in perspective. The three signs that they look forward to are three different men that will show up in the future. The Mahdi, or the 12th Imam, who reigned for 7 years. He'll have a massive army. He'll carry the black flags that say punishment, right? He'll reign for that seven-year period. He'll come out of a crisis, some kind of crisis in Islam of some sort. He'll establish the final caliph, and that's a final big war around the entire world, right? He will establish rule on the Temple Mount, like we think our Antichrist will rule from the Temple Mount. Paul talks about 2 Thessalonians 2 and all that. He'll discover, again, the hidden scriptures that show that Jews and Christians were wrong. Again, they have to have something like that, because there's always going to be this battle between the Bible and Christianity and, of course, in Islam. And so they had to have some kind of end for Christianity. Well, why don't we have the leader of Christianity say, Christianity is wrong? Have Jesus say that, right? You get that idea. He'll bring in happiness so that all will love him. And that's the idea of Allah. And then Jesus shows, and they think of him as a good guy. And then Jesus shows, and he'll be a good guy in their view as well. This is what's part of the deception. A lot of people think, well, we hear all these dreams again, and these Muslims are coming to faith in Jesus. How do we know? Because they say they believe Jesus. It was a prophet, that Jesus is somebody who's going to come again. And we believe that too. Well, that doesn't make you a Christian. That just means you know some information that happens to be similar to what Jesus. It's not about being born again, right? So they see Jesus as a good guy. This Jesus will return and will be a radical Muslim, right? He'll arrive east of Damascus dressed in yellow clothes. I'm just kind of summarizing it right on this chart here. He'll establish the cause of the Mahdi, because he'll worship the Mahdi. Jesus will. He'll become Islam's greatest evangelist. Again, that's his whole point, is to let everybody know, don't follow me. I was never intended to be the Son of God. I never died on a cross, and I'm not all, any of that stuff. Just believe in Allah, right? He'll establish Sharia law, right, and worship Allah. Jesus will be Mahdi's executioner and prophet. He'll be the one doing a lot of killing. He'll be the one doing probably public killings, because when Jesus killed, it's doing it with the intent of saying, look, Jews and Christianity are false. They want that to be seen on headlines or whatever going on. They want that to be a public thing, right? And he will kill the Islamic Dajjal. He'll be the one that publicly kills the false prophet, this Jew. And he will lead Christians to reject the biblical Jesus. That's the whole point. Whatever you read in the scripture, Jesus is going to come back and tell you everything you read in scripture is false. Again, you see the difficulty when they say, yeah, but we believe in the Gospels, but you believe it's corrupt. Why would you believe any portion of it? We believe in the Bible is without error. From text to text, from book to book, it's completely without error. If they have any questions about whether it's true or not, I wouldn't want to put any confidence in it, because then every time you read it, is this true? Is this right? You know, but they're okay with that, apparently. And then the last person, the last sign, is the Dajjal. Now, he's considered, from their view, a bad guy, but he's also going to be someone that's going to claim to be Jesus, right? False Jesus. He'll be born in Iran. He'll come on a mule. He'll be blind in one eye. He'll claim to be deity. He'll be a false miracle worker, and that's got to be demonic, right? The power to do things that, whoa, that can't be. That's not normal. Humanity can do that. Well, yeah, there's demons behind it. He'll claim to be Jesus, the Son of God, right? And so why not have the real Jesus, the man that we know of, come in there, say, I'm not a prophet, or I'm merely a prophet, I'm not the Son of God, and kill somebody else who says they are Jesus, the Son of God, right? You get that? So Jesus kills someone claiming to be Jesus. This is what I say. It's kind of interesting in Islam. They really are anti-Jesus everywhere you look as far as teaching. And he'll attempt this Jadal, will attempt to stop the Mahdi, and the Islamic Jesus. So he's going to try to be the one that's going to stop it all. But he's only going to reign for 40 days. He'll only be around for 40 days trying to stop Islam. Again, he'll have the 70,000 Jewish followers, because after all, the Dajjal is a Jew, right? He's a Jew fighting Islam. That's why they hate him. And he'll even have 70,000 Tatars. Again, that's the picture of Gentiles. So 140,000 military army behind him that will try to stop Islam. And then his reign will only last for the 40 days. So I try to put this together so you have some idea what they're looking at in the future. These are what they're looking at is going to take place. The Mahdi comes first, and then Jesus comes, and then the Dajjal, their false prophet, comes and tries to prevent it. Because in the meanwhile, for the 7 years, they're growing around the world, in their view, right, with the Mahdi. But he only lives 7 years, and then Jesus comes on, kind of finishes the job, completes the job. And that's, Mahdi's actually got that same idea. Because remember, in Islam, it's not that Jesus show up out of nowhere. They show up because they started enough wars. They started enough jihad, right, to try to take over the world. And the big caliph is the worldwide dominion of taking over the world. They started that campaign. That's why they get riled up in over in the Middle East a lot, because they're hoping that they get enough momentum to start this process, which will bring the Mahdi onto the scene, and then Jesus. And then they'll see this guy show up, their false prophet, their Dajjal, but in the end, here only lasts for 40 days, and then Islam wins, is actually the kind of the picture. I hope that hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. I try to put it together in such a way that you can see what they do and with the idea of they want to dominate the world. You know, that's a big deal. All right, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your love, for your grace. We pray that we were not going to be deceived by when we see, or if we do see, some of these things take place, that in their world, in the Muslim world, they are so deceived from not believing in you, not trusting in you, and they have a God who's very, has good days and bad days, and is very difficult to deal with, and he could just decide to kill any one of them because he had a bad day. That kind of a God is not who you are, Father. We're so thankful to realize how you're loving, caring, and patient with us, Father. Help us to learn just to trust you more every day so that you get all the glory for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.